If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we are talking with writer, director, and producer Jackie Stone of the web series Compersion, which is an awesome web series about polyamory. With her, we're going to be talking about bringing realism to telling stories about polyamory and not just showing everything going great. And we're also going to talk about race and diversity in the poly community and what are things that we can do as a community to try to encourage diversity and openness and inclusivity in a group that really should be doing that already.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
You know what else I'm really excited about?
What are you excited about?
Our Multiamory West Coast Tour 2017!
Woo! All right, this has been a dream of ours for a long time, guys, and it's actually going to happen. So, starting on February 7th,
which is the release of Dedeker Winston's newest book. It's not a novel. I almost said it was a novel.
Yes.
It's not a novel, but it might be just about as long as one.
Dedeker's book, The Smart Girl's Guide to Polyamory, comes out on February 7th, and that is when we are launching our tour. It's going to last a couple weeks, and it'll be in the West Coast of the United States. We will be recording live podcast episodes, as well as hosting other events and stuff like that. So we're coming for you in San Diego.
Los Angeles.
San Francisco.
Berkeley.
Portland.
In Seattle.
Yes. Yay. So excited. Keep your eyes on our social media to hear updates about this for the exact dates in your city, for ticket sales, more information. We will also be telling you more about it on this show in the future.
Yes.
But check that out. We are so excited to see you there.
This is just a little teaser. We're teasing you.
Yes, we're teasing. This is the first teaser.
Tease. And now, on to Jackie.
And here we are with Ms. Jackie Stone, the writer, director, producer, the everythinger of the web series Compersion, which is part of Enchant TV on YouTube.
Yes.
So you can go check it out for free. It's awesome. We highly recommend it. And we'll put links in the show description where you can go right to that and check it out. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah. So we have a ton of stuff that we want to cover. We were just talking for a little bit before this started. And I guess just could you, maybe you have practice more than we do, but could you give us like the 1 minute summary of Compersion?
Oh, absolutely. So Compersion is a story about a couple who've been married for 15 years and the wife decides that she wants to open up their marriage and explore polyamory. So the show follows them through that journey.
So we've all watched the show.
Yes.
We loved it. We loved how real it felt, you know, that it that not just the acting and the writing and all those things, but also just how well produced it was.
And it was a very realistic portrayal of like a long-term marriage. You could tell that these people really knew each other and that they were truly surprised by this kind of opening up and this decision on her part.
Right. So I guess what we were kind of wondering is, you know, what is it that prompted you to tell this story?
So about a decade ago, I was online dating, looking for love on Match.com.
On Match, really?
On Match.com.
Okay. Classic.
Wow. Classic.
I'm amazed.
Back in the old days.
Yeah, that you found a polyamorous person on Match.com.
But there was no boxes to check for polyamorous.
Right. You're
so
right.
It was more underground. Mm-hmm. And so I met a man, and he was in a polyamorous relationship, and he wanted to date me, and it was the first time I ever heard the term polyamory, and I was like, "Polly, what are you talking about?
Right.
You're out in these streets and you're married, you got a wife." And he was like, "Yes, she knows it was her idea."
Wow.
And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, talk to her."
That's awesome.
That's great.
So we became friends, and from that point on, I was like, "This would be a very interesting story to tell."
Yeah.
Because I had never seen at that point in time a love story that involved outside partners that could be real and authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it was purposeful that you had other loves. And I was like, this would be very interesting because how do you, starting out, keep your marriage intact while you explore mm-hmm. other romantic mm-hmm. entanglements? And yeah. I was like, you know, this could be a very rich story.
Absolutely.
And yeah. originally yeah. I wanted to do it for TV and they didn't come calling. So we decided to, you know.
You did it on your own.
I did
amazing.
It on my own. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I do love the fact that you chose to tell this specific story, particularly because, you know, what we've encountered here at Multiamory, what I've encountered, you know, I have my own relationship coaching practice, is that this is a very relatable story. There's not a lot of people, it's actually a relative rarity for people to come to polyamory, you know, like when they're 18 years old and first discovering adult relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That most, or I don't know about most people, but a lot of people come to non-monogamy when they are already in a monogamous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the questions that we receive, you know, a lot of my clients are people who are in the same situation that your characters are, mm-hmm. where they're in a marriage or in a long-term relationship, and they're interested in opening it up, and they have to tackle, you know, all those questions that you tackle so beautifully in your web series of like, how the heck do we do this?
Yeah.
How the heck do we do this in a way that is healthy? How the heck do we process all these crazy emotions mm-hmm. going on? And so I have to say that, you know, I really appreciate the realism that you lend to this process, because I think a lot of people can relate to that, of the emotions, of the jealousy, of the negotiation. My question for you is, how do you balance, you know, kind of being true to that and portraying that realism versus just kind of making it seem like polyamory is a terrible idea mm-hmm. because all you do is fight about it and feel jealous and talk about it all the time and no one gets what they want?
So I would say that when I decided to do this story, I wanted to do a family drama that was exploring polyamory. So it was never me saying, I got to do a story about polyamory and this is, it's polyamory, polyamory, polyamory. I had to come through it with the characters, and I wanted to be human more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to come looking at how this couple makes this journey. And it's not going to be, for this particular couple, it's not going to be easy because their background is very traditional. This man signed up for a monogamous relationship. This woman mm-hmm. agreed to this monogamous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't want to do a fairy tale. I was like, I don't want to do a fairy tale. I wanted to do something mm-hmm. that was very human, very relatable, and that these characters, in order to get to compersion, which won't be in season two, but to get to compersion, that it would take work because it's not something I think comes overnight, especially when you're used to this particular relationship paradigm.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
If there is a critique of people of compersion, it would be there's some conflict, you know.
There's a lot of conflict.
You know,
there's a lot of conflict.
And you know, like,
it's not a smooth
and
journey.
The thing is, like, for me, it's like I want, in anything you probably see me do, there's going to be some mud
yeah.
on you. There's going to be mm-hmm. some scars on you. But for me, it makes mm-hmm. that journey, once you get to the mountaintop and you see the peaks and the valleys, that it was worth
mm-hmm.
that struggle, because mm-hmm. when yeah. Josh finally comes to a realization of maybe this isn't so bad, and why was I holding on to you as a possession, and
yeah.
and Kina makes her peace, and you know, it will be that much of a reward. And me as a writer, mm-hmm. I need my characters to want something and for things to stand in their way and see how hard they fight for what they want.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
and
great.
So it's not about like I think that polyamory is a just as a valid way of relating as monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But when I went into the show, I didn't say I want to portray polyamory in a negative light. I want to portray polyamory in a positive light. I was like, these are the characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This one wants to do this, and the other one doesn't want to. So I really wanted to portray more of the characters and not so much polyamory, because I think if you're going in saying I'm going to portray polyamory, you're going to fail, because you can't you can't represent all of polyamory. For sure. I would not be able to do that fairly, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And as the show evolves, there's going to be other characters that are involved in different stages of their walk in polyamory, and they're going to have a different experience. But this is about this couple's experience.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, and I think you've really set that up because, I mean, I know my personal experience is like, oh, God, like, oh, please, like, please, I hope it gets better. Like, I hope they figure something out. Like, yeah. You definitely help set up that investment of like, oh, gosh, this is really rough. But at the same time, like, I want these people to win. You know, I want these people to figure it out. I want these people to find that happiness.
But it is just
like, yeah, I want them to find compersion.
It is just the first couple, like, months, or I guess four or five
months.
Yeah,
4 months in.
And, you know, I mean, Jason and I sort of had a similar...
Our first 4 months were a
little rough. Exactly. Yeah. We sort of had a similar
My first 4 months
up.
Were real rough.
Yeah, so I think that it is very realistic.
Yeah, there's a lot of ingrained stuff that we have to unlearn.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yes.
On the show, family comes up a lot, too.
Yeah.
A lot of different characters talk about their upbringings. You know, there's family members in it, too, but more just that they talk about, well, I was raised this way, or like...
Yeah.
Well, my, you know, my dad wasn't around, or yours was, or, you know, just kind of how that impacts,
you know, like
their relationships.
You know, his mother, Josh's mother's very religious. He grew up going to church, you know, he comes from a two-family home, you know.
Right.
We don't know much about Keena's parents. You guys will see that probably next season.
Ooh, nice.
But, you know, they've had a very traditional leave it to Beaver kind of life up until this point, where one partner is very happy with the way things are going, and Keena
wants more,
wants to be able to explore that part of yourself. And for me, I mean, I couldn't imagine my husband coming to me after 15 years, baby. So this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, putting yourself in that position, because what you're thinking, even if it's not true, that I'm not enough.
Yeah.
And how do you act out when you think you're not enough?
Sure.
Right.
You know?
Of course.
Your insecurities, you know, when it has maybe nothing to do with you not being enough. But, you know, especially people who watch it who are monogamous, Keena's selfish, her husband is perfect. How could you do this to him? You're ungrateful. You don't love him.
Well, this is a perfect segue into our next question we had for you, which is about that. Like, what kind of fallout and criticism have you gotten for this?
Have you gotten any from the polyamorous community?
A large portion of the audience that watches Compersion is Black and poly.
That's awesome.
And they have been very supportive of the series, because they haven't seen anything that represents them.
There is nothing,
you know.
Like that.
So it's been like they're really excited about it, and so far, the audience that we have love the realism.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, I think, I mean, I know when I'm watching stuff and I want it to go a certain way, I get pissed off. And I'm like, why would you do that? I can't believe you did that. Why couldn't you just, you know? So I get that, but it's not in a way that's saying, oh, I hate the show.
Oh, no, of course.
Right.
They suck. These people are not real. But I think when you don't see yourself, sometimes we want a fairy tale version of it. We want everything to be perfect.
Yeah.
And nothing I ever do, you will ever see that unless it's a Disney film. And that's what it calls for. But they've been very supportive. Now, I've had some people who are not polyamorous make comments, you know.
The YouTube comments below. I
this
did
hoe
read some
and,
of them. Yeah.
And I'm like, delete. I'm like, you could, you know. And I totally like want people to disagree. But don't be calling my character no hoe.
Exactly.
You know, so there's been like people who are not, who've never heard of polyamory or who, I mean, there are some judgmental things, but most of my audience right now are, I think a large portion of them are polyamorous and have been very supportive.
That's lovely.
Yeah, that's great. That's and that's, I think it's also important to point out the fact that, like you said, that the majority of your audience is Black and poly and that, as far as I know, I mean, maybe you know of something else, but as far as I know, there's nothing out there. There's no other series or podcast or any sort of people doing it publicly.
There,
besides Monique.
Oh, Monique, yes. You know, there there's other series that have online that I know a couple that have been Black, poly, and it was usually triads, two women, one man.
Right.
And that's all I've seen. And I've only learned about them because they've contacted me when they've seen Compersion.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I mean, this looks like a movie. It's shot like a film would be.
Yeah. Shout out to Bruce Francis Cole, my DP, who's absolutely amazing.
Seriously. Nice. Really wonderful. It's a beautifully done web series in that
Thank
way.
You.
Plus, all of the actors are incredible.
Yes.
They're wonderful. Mm-hmm. And
can I ask about that real quick?
Actually, absolutely.
This wasn't on our list here of questions.
No
but
problem.
Are any of the cast, were they poly before? I'm just curious if anyone was.
I'm not allowed to divulge any names.
I get that.
But, there. I will say, as one of my actors said, there's definitely people who are polyfluid. That was the term she made.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Jamie says she's not, she doesn't identify as polyamorous, but she's open to it and she's learning. That's what she said in one of our interviews.
Wow.
I almost wonder if being on the show, you would start to be like, like getting into this character, I start to understand.
She said that.
Yeah?
She said that, you know, the show opened her mind to something that she really hadn't given too much thought to.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's, a couple of people behind the scenes that intellectually, I think, are maybe not emotionally, but open to the idea of it. And, so yes.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome.
I mean, and then, we're all, we're artists, right? So, we get away with a lot of stuff that, middle America or, we're all avant-garde filmmakers, actors. So, it's okay to think out of the box.
Right. People expect that from us.
Right.
In a way they don't in a lot of other places. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI, at AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
So I wanted to talk about, in other interviews you talked about that you really enjoy, you really get some fulfillment out of creating a safe space, or as you call it, creating a home space, specifically for Black women with your filmmaking, which, I mean, just sounds absolutely beautiful to me, but I would love to know more about what that means to you.
Yeah, it's home place. So basically the concept comes out of what, Black women have historically done in very violent environments, from slave enslavement to civil rights to present day, of how you create safe spaces, whether or not you're a slave on the plantation and this particular shack that you are in is your safe space for your family, for your, so when I'm talking about home plays for women of the African diaspora, I wanted to do that in film as well. So where black women can be fully realized beings.
That's awesome.
That's beautiful.
Kina definitely is that on the show.
Yeah, I was going to say that exactly. Like, I love her character so much because she is like fully fleshed out. Yeah. Like, she feels like a real human being. She doesn't feel like, you know, single dimension. Mm-hmm. She doesn't feel like she's just there as a perfunctory. Like, she feels like an actual human being. Like, it feels like you have created that space.
And then to be able not to, you know, for us not to be pigeonholed to playing certain roles or certain yes. storylines as well. You know, like, I had a movie with an all black cast of nuns, you know, like, just like being able to see black women in ways you don't get to see them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, right. I mean, and just it, as a, even as a female character, I mean, Kina is interesting to me because the confidence that she has to keep sticking to what she wants and like trying to have integrity with it, even when it's real shitty, you know, when it's coming from all sides, like that's also just really cool as a character to get to see that, to kind of have those sorts of role models that it's like, she can be a role model without her life being perfect all the time.
Right, because it's... we live in imperfections. Absolutely. And we live in gray areas. Yeah. Everything is not so, you know, black and white. And what's interesting is the audience, when they... how they respond to Kina. Because in many respects, they see her as perfect. And they never see her faults when she doesn't... when she's not really acute with the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, where times where her character is not always 100% honest, but it's like, oh, we forgive her because she's trying, you know?
Yeah. Well, she does kind of... Well, I'm trying to figure out a way to say this without spoiling anything for people who haven't watched the show. She kind of does more of the, like, lies of omission.
Yes.
Which I think... I think as a film-going audience, we have been taught to be more forgiving of that than actual lies.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a good point, that she's definitely not perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I love her.
No, she's great.
Yeah, she's great. So something we talked about a little bit before recording that, you know, I just kind of want to highlight here is, you know, for those of our listeners who haven't watched the show yet, you know, this is a web series that is an all black cast. And as we were saying, like, this is something that, like, we basically never see, you know, like, we don't have that representation in our media. You know, we barely have representations of polyamory as it is, but usually it's all whitewashed. You know, usually it's the same image that the poly community often gets criticized for, which is seeming like it's just a bunch of like upper middle class educated white people. And so, you know, I want to talk about that because, like, clearly, you know, there's this underrepresentation of anyone who is not white within the poly community. You know, I hear from a lot of, like, a number of clients of mine who are people of color who talk about the fact that, you know, I don't necessarily feel comfortable going to poly meetups because sometimes I'm the only non-white person there. Or I feel like I get fetishized because of my skin color, or because of my race, or because of my ethnicity. And, you know, these are things that are obviously... I mean, these are things that are part of the bigger picture, right? You know, these are things that are endemic to communities outside of just the poly community. But I was, you know, wondering to kind of get your take on, you know, how do we address this? You know, how do we, like, you know, the poly community, I feel, is usually such a great community for being open-minded and embracing all walks of life and embracing all different ways that people want to do their relationships. You know, it's a community that I would expect to naturally want to be more inclusive, and yet there's a lot of frustrated people out there. So I would just love to kind of get your take on that.
You know what? It makes me think about Hollywood.
Sure.
Hollywood should be a very inclusive place, and it should be a very diverse place, but it's not.
Yeah.
And the way you change that is by being proactive and reaching out to people who are different from you, reaching out to the communities of color, and just doing it. Because we could talk about it all day, but until you're like, you know what? Let me reach out to Black and Poly. Let me bring you over to my group. Let me, you know, because it's segregated. Like, you know, there's these really large polyamory groups that have 20,000 people. Most of the people are white. And then you have like Black and Poly, which is like 6,000 people. Right. And, you know, I don't have that experience of being Black and Poly and isolated. So that's not my experience. But I have an experience of being a Black filmmaker and being isolated and people talking about being inclusive but not really being inclusive. So it's like, you know, put our words into action and, you know, check our people who are fetishizing, you know, Black poly people, you know, you know, because that, I mean, it's you, if you're going to say you're about inclusiveness and open-mindedness, you need to be about it.
Yeah.
That's what Jackie says.
That's awesome.
That's what Jackie says.
You heard it here on Multiamory.
Put that up on my wall.
No, exactly.
That's what Jackie says.
That's awesome.
Just like write it in lipstick on your mirror.
That's what Jackie says, right?
That's what Jackie says.
But I think it should be because, you know, you think about, you know, like polyamory community should be more inclusive. Like,
absolutely.
You know, considering how it's considered fringe or out there, it seems like it would be more, you know, a collective body of people working together.
Yeah.
Even like polyamory married and dating, which was about a bunch of people actually in the community. It was all white people, I believe.
It was all white people.
It was very much not that. So,
I mean, content. It is interesting too, like that there are these two, you know, not just two, but that the groups do tend to segregate that way. And that is something that finding the way to start bringing that together, though, is the tricky part because, you know, because there is that thing of like that Black and Poly group. A lot of those people might be like, yeah, we could, but I kind of don't want to because I've done that before and I got fetishized or I was treated that way, you know, like, or I just felt just uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, it's a tricky thing to start that.
What I've seen, like, when, you know, some of the conversations that I've seen happening is definitely like, the people who are Black and Poly feel ostracized and not welcome. They go to, they say they go to meetup groups and they feel like the oddball out, you know? And so, you know, I think it's upon,
educators and all
you know,
of us,
to like really, you know, it takes work. It's like really, you know, you have to be about the work and trying to bring people into the fold, respecting the diversity, but also like, okay, you know, we have so many things in common.
Yeah.
Right.
And let's build on what we have in common, you know?
Definitely. I think that, you know, something that stuck in my mind last year, actually around this time, we interviewed Dr. Eli Sheff, who's a poly researcher. And she talked about the fact that, you know, for white people, the stakes of being out, as in being out about being poly, the stakes are much lower than it is for non-white people. Because the fact that, you know, non-white people often operate under stereotypes. You know, the example she gave was the idea that if you have a Latina woman who has to operate under the stereotype of like, oh, you're the fiery, passionate Latina, that if that woman comes out as being poly, like that's automatically going to get attached to her stereotype rather than to like a choice that she wants to make or just a part of who she is. And I feel like it's very much the same with Black women as well. And so, I mean, my opinion is I feel like there needs to be a sense of like a greater appreciation for that the stakes, you know, specifically for someone who's Black and poly, the stakes to be out about that are much, much higher.
I know when I was I was telling my family about the series that I was doing and
that what
it was Black.
Think?
I mean, they love it. My mother, my mother is a huge fan. My cousins are huge fans.
That's awesome.
They watch it religiously. But I remember my cousins were like, it's a Black couple? Ain't no Black man gonna allow his Black wife to go out here and date anybody and let... I was like, no, there are Black men who are poly with their Black wives or their Black girlfriends or their Black boyfriends. I'm like, you know, but because it's not in their sight. Like, we don't... Yeah. It's not something that's in everyday sight. So it's like, no, there's no way there's a Black person that's gonna do that. And I'm like, there's tons of Black people who are doing this. But it's just such a limited scope of what people's personal experiences are. Are there are the only relationships they know about that are would be similar to polyamory, but not is like if you're having an affair. So those are the relationships they understand. And I think and I think for many people, and which is so strange, my show has a hard time being shared. Like, it's shared in polyamorous groups,
right.
But
totally.
People who are monogamous don't share it, and people who are polyamorous don't share it outside.
Right.
To their monogamous
group.
Friends.
Yeah. Like, and it's not, I'm like, just because you share it doesn't mean anything, you know? But it's the danger of someone even thinking that you may see relationships differently. Yeah, that's the strangest thing. Like,
my goodness.
And the ideal of it is very dangerous in and of itself, which is horrible when you're doing a digital series because you want it to spread like wildfire.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's definitely that I think a threat of being outed, you know, if you're polyamorous, and then the threat of someone associating you with something that is just deemed so horrible of saying, I want to date. I want to be with my husband and my girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's so interesting. I had a friend of mine tell me he couldn't subscribe to my network because it was like soft porn.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. That's a stretch. Oh.
And I was like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, but
they have sex in the first episode.
There's just
between a man.
I'm like,
but you know, husband and wife, like, come on.
Right.
He told me.
I don't see anything.
It would be more easier for him to subscribe if it was a show about this married couple and the wife cheating.
Yeah.
Because it's more socially acceptable.
No, I mean, surprising at all.
Right.
We've heard those things before.
And I was like, but I don't understand. I was like, because, you know, for me, this is not, it wasn't so taboo the way that I'm handling the material. It was just, it's about this couple and this relationship and their relationship shifting.
Yeah.
You know, it was nothing for me like that was wild and, or anywhere near soft porn. Not
right.
Yeah.
Not saying anything bad about soft porn.
Not.
It has its place. But it's so interesting that just the idea of it is so threatening.
Mm-hmm. Well, people automatically associate it with like, oh, well, this is a thing that you do in the bedroom.
It's a sex thing.
And we shouldn't talk about things that happen in the bedroom.
Yes.
So
yes.
Therefore, we shouldn't be watching this.
Right, right. Yeah, maybe that.
No.
You had your hand up for a second.
No, I mean, we've gotten that. Like, we've had friends reach out to us and say, like, I love you guys and I love your show, but like, I can't like your Facebook page. I can't follow you on Twitter because like, my girlfriend sees that I did, then she's going to freak out. And of course, we're like,
That is a strange
But it's thing. It's even being associated with the possibility feels so dangerous to people. It's like, even acknowledging it is dangerous to some people.
But you know what's interesting? They won't like your Facebook page or follow you or share it, but they will share somebody getting their head blown off in real life.
Sure.
Like,
something
and it's
horrible.
Like, are you serious? Just the idea of just relating to someone differently. That blowing someone's head off is more palpable for you than the thought of me wanting to love more than one person at the same time.
Yeah,
it's been a struggle. It's been a frustration of mine.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well,
it's something that we talk a lot about whenever we talk about coming out on this show, and I think even on a lesser scale, it could have to do with coming out as liking a show like Compersion or liking a podcast like ours, even if you're not poly,
right?
Is something we say a lot is if you're someone who's in a position where you can. That you are safe to come out, where the repercussions for you might be a little awkward, but you're not going to lose your job. You're not going to get kicked out of your house,
right?
That if you can do it, because the more people that do that, think about these guys, you know, who are so afraid to share something like this on their Facebook page. If they're like, oh, but you know, my buddy, whoever did that, or like, oh, my friend's uncle post stuff about this. Like, it
strength
becomes less scary because it's like, oh, I know another human did this, an actual human I know, not just like an idea of another person.
And the thing about Compersion, I'm not advocating anything.
That's true.
It's just a story about this couple and their journey to this this particular thing. And so it's not like, you have to be polyamorous. No, you be whatever you want to be.
Right.
The show is not saying you need to be this or you need to be monogamous. Yeah. However you decide to have your relationship is what you decide to do. But it's a phenomenon that just frustrates the hell out of me.
Yeah, right. I can imagine.
You know.
Well, I mean, honestly, I could talk about this for like 6 more hours. That's how I often feel towards the end of our podcast. We just have 2 last questions for you, Jackie.
I'm here. I drove all the way out here to Egypt for you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we are out here.
So the first question being, you know, you've researched this topic and you've explored this topic so much through your work, through your characters, through your writing. From what you've learned about this, what would be your one piece of advice that you would give someone who, you know, maybe a couple who's in the same position as, you know, your characters, Josh and Kina? What would be your one piece of advice for people who are interested in pursuing non-monogamy?
I would say you have to be incredibly open and honest about what you're feeling emotionally. Mm. And I'm a very emotional person. So I'm thinking about if I decided to go into a polyamorous relationship, I would definitely have to be open emotionally and very honest about my insecurities and what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I think ego can get in the way. And that, I have a very ravenous heart and, yeah. I'm thinking you have to be open.
Yeah,
just really lay everything bare and be naked. If you, in my opinion, if you're going to pursue, non-ethical monogamy,
right? Yeah.
I like that phrase, ravenous heart. Yeah, I might steal that one. Sorry. I like it a lot.
It's poetry right there.
Well, you know, I'm a poet. I'm a writer.
There you go.
You're a great writer.
You heard
sure.
it right here. That's what Jackie mm-hmm. says.
well done, well done.
So the next question that we have for you, for me, is also a little bit of a selfish question because, you know, I finished the series a few weeks ago and it leaves us on a freaking cliffhanger at the
yes,
end.
Yes, it does. Like, and I'm hoping that cliffhanger will motivate people to go over to that Indiegogo campaign and
well,
give me some
money.
Well,
that's what we want to ask you about. So if people want to see more of this, if they want to see more quality shows about polyamory out there, where can they support you?
They could go to our Indiegogo campaign. So mm-hmm. they could just Google compersion on Indiegogo and we will come up. Or they could go to bit.ly/compersion2. And, you know, for... My biggest thing is if people who like the show support the show with $10, if just the people who watched the series finale mm-hmm. gave $10, we'd be funded.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
$25, we'd be super funded.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, I think a lot of times people wait for someone else to do it. And what mm-hmm. I stress about this show is, like, if it's for you, if you like it, if you enjoy it, you're going to have to support it because compersion takes money to shoot. We did it
Absolutely.
For bare bones, and we're trying to do it for bare bones again.
Right.
But we do need some resources, and because I'm not independently wealthy, I cannot finance season yeah. two. So it's definitely small donations matter. We'll take big ones, but you know, 10, 5, 25, 50.
Yeah.
If you go support, because we really want to bring back season two. This is just the beginning. There's so much more we want to explore as our couple gets closer to compersion.
Of course.
Yeah.
There's so much.
That's great.
And that first episode of season two, honey.
Oh,
oh man. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, my gosh.
Awesome.
He is so hot.
We were all gushing over.
I know. We
what's
like,
his character's name?
Colt.
Yeah, we all got a little bit of a crush.
Yeah,
we
got a Colt crush. Like,
oh, he was going to come today. Crush.
Oh, really?
Uh huh.
Oh. It's probably better he didn't. We would have been so distracted.
we'd all.
You know,
like,
we're going to come back. I'm going to bring him.
Yeah,
he was like, oh, maybe I'll come through. I was like, come on through. He's like, what are you guys going to discuss? I'm like, the show and some other stuff. Come on.
Yeah. That's awesome. We'll definitely bring him next time.
I will definitely
we can talk
bring
about
him.
Like the launch of season two or something.
Yes, yeah, so we could do that. So the launch of season two. Yeah, you guys sure. could come to the release party.
Ooh, yeah.
That's if we get funded. Indiegogo.
Yeah, well, all right, guys. Now
we'll
I have two selfish reasons for you to come fund this project.
We really want to make gold.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You should see that. It's going to be.
Okay. All right. And then also so we can check out season two of the show. Thank you so much, Jackie,
Thank
for
you.
Coming on the
Thank
show.
You. I had such a blast.
We
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. As always, if you guys want to write to us with any suggestions or questions or to start a conversation, you can do that to our Twitter at MultiAmory or on Facebook, MultiAmory, or you can write an email to us at info@MultiAmory.com. And of course, join the awesome discussion group, which is actually how we first found out about compersion, by joining our Patreon and becoming part of the discussion group there. So thank you all so much, and we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.